What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The biggest moments in the games.
Miami running around, circling. Oh, look out! Gronkowski didn't have the angle! Touchdown! Oh, Kenyon Drake! A miracle!
The biggest voices in sports.
They crowned their ass, but they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
The heartbreak.
Lynch in the backfield. Russell looks, throws inside. Oh, my God! It's picked off at the goal line! It's picked off by Gus Butler. Intended for Lockett at the goal line. Oh, my word.
The celebrations.
Driving forward, diving to the goal line. A touchdown and a title for the Patriots.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it.
They have completed the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history.
Look at Brady. One more ring.
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
That's right. It is the Bulletin Blitz on the Bart Winkler Show, Infinity Sports Network. It is Friday, May 30th, 2025. And we have a Game 6 tomorrow night in Indianapolis between the Knicks and the Pacers. Let's hear from the Knicks' Karl-Anthony Towns on what the message is going into Game 6.
I mean, first off, regardless of them changing a game plan, us, you know, changing our game plan, and obviously doing different things, it has to start off with that desperation that we started with tonight. I thought that we did a great job coming out the gates off the jump ball 0-0 and applying pressure and having that energy that's needed, especially in a do-or-die game. So
it was so interesting to see the Knicks kind of play the Pacers' role in this one. Look, both teams are competitive, both teams are good, but the Pacers do a really good job at not letting you get momentum on them. And when the Pacers had a bit of a run, when they cut it to 10, the Knicks were answering. Karl-Anthony Towns, a big part of that. Now, part of that run that they were able to come up to was because Towns had to be on the bench because he was in foul trouble. They absolutely have to avoid that. And that's going to be a strategy for the Pacers, is to draw fouls against Jaylen Brown and to draw fouls against Karl-Anthony Towns, especially Towns, because if they have to go to Mitchell Robinson, then they can hack him. And then if they take him out, it just goes right down the line. So look for that to be another storyline on Saturday night in Indiana.
Yeah, I say basketball was a game of runs, but Indy really didn't have that run yesterday. Final score was 111-94. Obviously, the Pacers still only need one game. So here's Pascal Siakam saying they're going to be better in Game 6.
We're up 3-2 in the series, and we have an opportunity to go back home and show what we're made of. And I have no doubt in my teammates, and I have so much faith in them. And, you know, I know that we're gonna give everything we got.
Like I said, I'm a third of the way for a Pacers win. I'm a third of the way for a Knicks win and then win Game 7, and I'm a third of the way for a Knicks win and a Pacers win Game 7 in New York. What is your read on it?
Here's
what I'm doing.
Uh-huh.
Carlos, I have $1 million for you. If you get this series right, you get the $1 million. What do you pick?
Pacers 6.
Pacers tomorrow night.
Which is not what I went with this series when it first started. I say I had Knicks in 7. Just that game 1 loss, man. That's demoralizing. Let's go to the Oilers making their second straight trip to the Stanley Cup Final. Edmonton won the Western Conference. They eliminated the Dallas Stars with a 6-3 victory in Game 5 from Dallas. Connor McDavid, he led the way with a goal and an assist. And he says that they are in a better position to win this year when they lost to the Florida Panthers. This is a rematch of last year's finals. Here's Connor McDavid.
It hasn't been as emotional. We haven't had the highs and we haven't had the lows. Just kind of been steady. And I think that's put us in a good position. You know, those games can be emotionally draining. We're not drained.
Well, when you go to one and you lose, maybe you realize how to operate in the next one if you get back. That's what Florida did. This is their third Stanley Cup in a row. So they lost to Vegas a couple of years ago, come back, beat Edmonton. Edmonton losing last year. Maybe they come back and beat Florida. I talked about some of the odds for the NBA Finals. The Thunder are going to be huge favorites, no matter who they play. Minus 700. Biggest favorites since the 2018 Warriors that swept the Cavs. The odds right now, Panthers are plus 100, Oilers minus 120. What does that mean? It means the Oilers have a 54% chance to win. What does that mean? It means it's a coin flip. So Canada, with a chance for their first cup in, what is it, 35 years? Edmonton could be the ones to do it, 33 years. It's a long time. It's 30-something years.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Which is still, that blows my mind. That's one of the more startling facts in sports to me, that Canada has not won a Stanley Cup since 1992? Insane.
Yeah, in a sport that they basically invented. We'll see. I know they'll face of the league conversations, very lazy, low-hanging fruit, but this is Connor McDavid's chance to be the face of hockey should the Oilers pull off and win the Stanley Cup. Let's go to college football because, you know, as always, the landscape is a-changing. Rules are different from season to season. Here is Big 12 Commissioner Brent Yormark on why they want not a 14-team playoff, but a 16-team playoff.
In talking to our ADs and coaches, we want to earn it on the field. The 5-11 might not be ideal for the conference, but it's good for college football, and it's what's fair. And we don't want any gimmies. We want to earn it on the field, and that was the direction of the key stakeholder group, the ADs and the coaches, and I feel very comfortable with that.
So what the holdup is in a lot of the discussions is if we go to 16, which it seems like everybody wants to do, how do we then give those berths out? And the SEC and Big Ten both think they should get four automatic qualifiers. And then they say, well, then the Big 12, you can have two, and the ACC, you can have two as well, and then the rest will be at large. But the Big 12 and ACC feel like, well, just by doing that, you're putting us on a lower bar. We'd rather just say Big 10 champion gets in, SEC, Big 12, ACC, and then the next best. And then at large it. So that's where the holdup is. The SEC and the Big 10, I feel like they're trying to protect themselves against a situation that doesn't even happen. I took a look at the last two college football playoff tournaments. Even 2 years ago, what it would be as a 16-team playoff. And I will take a look at that coming up in a few minutes as to why this is so stupid for the SEC and the Big Ten to want four automatic qualifiers. We'll do that coming up.
All right, and let's switch gears to the NFL here. The Olympics will have flag football starting 2028. I think that's Los Angeles. Here is Travis Kelce, Merchant, Patrick Mahomes. He's asked, would he play in Olympic flag football?
It's awesome, honestly, just to be able to showcase the NFL to the whole world through flag football. But I'll probably leave that to the younger guys. You know, I'll be a little old by the time that thing comes around.
So, God, there's going to be 3 years of this. And then the games, there's going to be like 5 days of games. The hype that this event will receive is not worth it. I'm not participating in any of it. I don't even want to acknowledge it when it happens. I don't want to build my roster. I don't want to do my fantasy draft. I don't want to do any of it. I don't like it. If you're going to have NFL players in the NFL play flag football in the Olympics, they should be playing football in the Olympics. I don't I don't think this is cute. I don't think this is cool. I don't think this is funny. I know I'm a curmudgeon on this, but I don't like it. It's like one of the five things I hate the most right now in the world, which is saying a lot, but it is up there.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.